Morning. Today's daf in Zvachim is Kuf Ches. We're in the 13th parak of the Masechta. We're talking about the sermon, the Torah of Shchutei Chutz Hela B'Chutz. Shchutei Chutz Hela B'Chutz, one takes a carbon, shechs it outside the area of the Beis HaMikdash, outside the area of the Azara. One offers carbon outside the area of the Beis HaMikdash, so one is subject to two separate Yisurim in the Torah. Both of them have an onus karis. Both of them have a karis penalty to it. What we started with yesterday as we began the 13th parak of the Masechta. So we opened up with the Mishnah yesterday, and we got to Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph. We're about halfway down to Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph, a little bit less than that. Is that we introduced ourselves to a little bit more detail regarding the Pesukim, the construct of the Pesukim. You look carefully at the Pesukim, so you'll notice that the first the Torah opens up, there are only 9 Pesukim in total in the Torah regarding the Isurim of Shchutei Chutz and Hela B'Chutz. But to be even more specific, however, if you look at the Pesukim, so the first 4 Pesukim, Aleph through Dalet, so the first 4 Pesukim, Aleph through Dalet, so those Pesukim detail the Isur of Shchutei Chutz, and then Pesukim, Hei, Vav, Zayin continue talking about the Isur of Shchutei Chutz, but they're talking about specifically where you were Makdish the animal when there was a Heter Bamus. In other words, historically there were periods of time when one was allowed to offer a carbon outside the area of the Beis HaMikdash, that's known as Heter Bamus. So one was Makdish animal during the time of Heter Bamus, and then one offered them at a time when there was an Isur Bamus. Okay, really limited application historically in terms of when we transition from going from Heter Bamus to Isur Bamus. But Psukim, Hei, Vav, and Zayin detail those Isurim. Pasuches, and I'm sorry, and let me just to be clear, that means to say that the Isur in the Torah of Shchutei Chutz, where one is going to be subject to kares, is where one was makdish the animal when there was an Isur Bama, and he shechted the animal during the Isur Bama. So that would be a full violation of the Isur in the Torah of Shchutei Chutz, coupled with the punishment of kares if he does so b'mezid. On the other hand, if let's say he was makdish animal during a heter bamos when it was okay, and then he shechted the animal during the Isur Bama, so there, as we learned in yesterday's daf, so he's violating an Isur in the Torah, but it's only an Isur Lav, coupled together with an Isur Aseh. But in other words, for that, there's no Isur Kares. That's what we learned yesterday. Additional to that, we also learned yesterday, the last 2 Pesukim of this Parsha, meaning Pesukim Ches and Tes, so that talk about the Isur of Hela V'Chutz, that if one takes a carbon after having shechted it and offered it outside, so one is going to be subject to the Isur of Hela V'Chutz. As we learned in the Mishnah yesterday, Machlokes between the Tanakhama and Rav Yossi. Tanakhama's position is it doesn't matter whether you shecht it inside or whether you shecht it outside. Under both of those circumstances, if you then subsequently offered it outside of the Beis HaMikdash, so you're in violation of Hela B'Chutz. Mashayinkin, according to Rav Yossi of the Mishnah, Rav Yossi Haglili taught us in the Mishnah that the only time that one is going to be in violation of Hela B'Chutz is only when one shechts it inside and then brings it outside. But in other words, if one shechts it outside, he disqualifies it by shechting it outside. And therefore, one would in fact be subject to the Isur of Shchutei Chutz, but one would not be subject to the Isur in the Torah of Hela B'Chutz. To which the Chachamim say back to Rav Yossi Haglili, your position is really difficult to understand. What difference does it make whether you shecht it inside or you shecht it outside? Even if I shecht it inside, I'm going to be taking it outside of the Azara. I'm going to be disqualifying it through the Pesul of Yotzei. So I don't understand what difference should it make whether I shecht it inside or I shecht it outside. So that was what we learned back in the Mishnah. With all that stated, now we are in Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph. And we're a little bit behind. I'm going to make a big push today to catch up to where we need to be. We are starting now in the Gemara on Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph. We're right after the word Kasha. It's about 10, 12 lines from the top of the Amud. The first one on the line is Amala V'Hamala Kasha. And we are continuing now in the Gemara's discussion of the Zisurim. Hadidnam, we learned in a Mishnah. Or I should say better, we are going to learn in a Mishnah. This Mishnah is coming up a couple days from now in the Daf. Hazork Mitzvahs Damim B'Chutz Chayev. So if I sprinkle some of the blood of a carbon outside, on a mizbech that's outside of the Azara, so one is going to be chayef. So what have we just introduced ourselves to? So in other words, there's Shchutei Chutz. Okay, that's what we already established yesterday. There's Hela B'Chutz, which means taking a limb and putting it on a mizbech outside of the Azara. That too we learned yesterday. But now in the Mishnah upcoming, so we're going to learn also that there's another Isser, and that's Hazorik mixas damim b'chutz. Taking blood and sprinkling it on a mizbeach outside, also one is going to be subject as well. So minalan. So where does that come from? Meaning the Torah actually is very clear in terms of what is usher to be done outside the base of Mikdash. Meaning, here's what we could say for sure. Everything's usher to do outside of the area of the Azara. Meaning there's only one centralized location where you can do all these activities. But what we want to know is that where is there an isser to do so? Where is it state that there's an isser to do so with a penalty? In other words, the penalty in the Torah is an isser kares. So where do we learn, how do we know about Zrika? So the Gemara says, Midatanya, we learn from a braisa, Dami Chashev la Rabbis HaZorik, Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, we learn it out from the fact that the Torah says, Dami Chashev. Now Kipshuta, we already went through the Pesukim yesterday. You look at the Pesukim inside, so the Dami Chashev is not going on the sprinkling of the blood, it's going on the person who actually offered it. But Bederech Drasha, Rabbi Yishmael understands that the words Dami Chashev is an allusion to one is going to be chayev also for sprinkling blood on a mizbech that's outside of the Azara. Rabbi Kiva Amar, O Zevach L'Rabbos HaZarek. Now Rabbi Kiva also has a drasha, but he turns to the pasuk of O Zevach. And here now we're going to go into our classic Gemara form, in which we're just going to keep ping-ponging back and forth what each Tana is going to do with the other Tana's pasuk, and the Gemara is now going to volley back and forth between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva. So we'll start with Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel, hi, O Zevach Mayavidle. What is Rabbi Shmuel going to do with the words O Zevach L'Chalek? He needs it to divide. And as Rashi points out over here, one might have thought that when the Torah talks about offering a carbon outside, so the Torah uses the words lezevach, laola o lezevach. Without the word o, one might have entertained the idea that in order to be chayiv, you have to actually offer both of them outside of the azara. Right? I'm sorry, I misquoted. The pasuk says, asher yale ola o zevach. Okay. So in other words, so I might have thought that I had to bring both. The word O over there is important, it is significant, but l'chalek, it's to divide and tell me that even if I only brought one carbon outside the base of Mikdash, it could be either an Ola or a Zevach, so one is going to be Chayiv. Rabbi Akiva l'chalek menale, what does Rabbi Akiva know, this idea that it doesn't have to be both carbonos? Nafkalei me lo yivieno. He learns that from the pasuk of lo yivieno. Lo yivieno, grammatically, is lashon yachid, meaning don't bring it. All you need to do is just bring one carbon outside and one's going to be chayiv. Rabbi Shmuel.
You wouldn't say oizevach, you would think just an oila you would be chayiv
kovet? If the Torah, without the Torah using the word o, in other words, if it just, let's say, it used a vav, so I would have said ola vizevach. It has to be both.
But the Torah
felt the need that it had to write both for reasons which, truth of the matter is, Gemara doesn't explain why, but okay. Rabbi Yishmael, how mi ba'ilei al hashalom uchayev enu chayev al hachaser. Rabbi Yishmael is of the opinion that one is going to be chayev only when he brings shalem outside, but not when he brings chaser. What is shalem versus what is chaser? So stay tuned. That is coming up at the end of today's daf, if we get to it. But the Gemara on Kuf Chesem at base, and on Kuf Test as well, is going to go through the positions of what exactly is chaser versus what is shalem. All we need to say right now is that one is only going to be chayv on halab chutz when he offers a shalem outside of the azara, but if he only offers a chaser outside of the azara, so one is not going to be chayv. Rabbi Akiva nafkalei mevelasos oso. Now Rabbi Akiva agrees with that position, but he has another pasuk that arrives into that conclusion, and that is lasos oso. The word oso means it, but it doesn't really give the full meaning. Oso means a full entity. In order to be chayiv on halabachutz, you have to offer an entity outside, meaning a davar shalem. It can't be something which is chaser. Rabbi Yishmael chad lemukteri panim shechasru v'halabachutz, v'chad lemukteri chutz shechasru v'halabachutz. So the Gemara says, now according to Rabbi Yishmael, he also learns that from the pasuk lasso so. But the truth of the matter is, according to Rabbi Yishmael, he actually learns that he needs a pasuk of lasso so, and he also needs the pasuk of lo yivienu, meaning he actually needs two psukim that speak to this idea that in order to be chayiv on hela b'chutz, on a shalem and not a chaser, I need two psukim, I need two drashas.
Could you translate more, Rabbi? I'm really sorry.
I'll work on it. So he needs two drashas. Now why does he need two drashas in order to teach me these two points? Because the Gemara says, in order to The first drasha is to tell me that if he offers an entire entity of carbon outside of the Beis HaMikdash, that's not only in a case where he shechted it outside and offered outside, but even in a case where he shechted it inside and offered it outside. And why do I need two drushes to speak to both of these ideas? I'll explain in just a moment. But before we do that, let's see the brice inside. V'atayin we learned on the brice of Rabbi Shmuel Omer. Yachol mukter epinim shechas v'ela b'chutz. Chayiv, I might have thought that offering, and when the Gemara says the words mukter over here, it means shechting. Shechting something in the Azara. Shechas v'ela b'chutz, where? Now it becomes chaser. And again, I know we haven't really explained or defined what chaser means. We're just going to wait. In other words, the Gemara is going to get there. But all we need to say right now is that it's missing, it's lacking. So if I shucked it inside and then it's lacking, then I offered it outside. So one's going to be chav. Tamar lamar laso so so. So that's one drasha. Here comes the second drasha. Alashalim chayiv enu chayiv ala chaser. So what did we just see? That according to Rabbi Yishmael, we have the drasha of laso so so to teach me this halacha that if I shechted it inside the azara and I offered it outside and before it went outside it becomes chaser, it becomes deficient, I'm still going to be chayev on hela v'chutz. Now, why? Now let's spell this out. Why do I need two drashas? Meaning, isn't one drasha enough? And this is the idea basically that in order to violate the Isser in the Torah of hela v'chutz, of offering something outside of the azara, so if I already have one drasha that tells me that it has to be shalom and it can't be chaser, it has to be a whole entity and it can't be deficient, so why do I need a second drasha to also teach me that if I shecht it inside and then bring it outside, but it's not shalem, so then you're going to be pater. One drasha should be enough. So Rashi over here points out the reason is very simple. Because when you shecht something inside of the azara, so now it has to go onto the mizbeach, meaning there's a requirement for it to go on the mizbeach. And here's also what we know. We know that when something goes up onto the mizbeach is mikadesh. If any part of the carbon would come off the mizbeach, so there is a requirement to take it and put it back up onto the mizbeach. So I might have thought that even though there's a halacha of shalem v'lo chaser, that to violate hela b'chutz, it has to be a whole entity, can't be just simply a piece. I might have thought that that's only limited to where I shecht it outside and offer it outside. But once I shecht it in the azara, where now every bit of it has to go onto the mizbeach, so one might have entertained and considered that if I take those bits and bring them outside and offer them outside, I'm going to be chayiv. That's why, according to Rabbi Yishmael, you need a second drasha. So says Rashi. Now, back to Rabbi Akiva. We're just going to keep ping-ponging back and forth. Rabbi Akiva, mukhtarei pinim, shechas v'ela b'chutz, chayiv. Now, as far as Rabbi Akiva is concerned, yeah, actually, finally, we get to now a point where he disagrees. Rabbi Akiva now is actually going to disagree on this very last point, meaning he agrees with the basic idea that to violate the Isser and the Torah of Hela B'chutz, you must offer an entire carbon outside. It has to be shalom. It can't be chaser. Well, here's where Rabbi Akiva disagrees on the point that we just articulated, that if I shecht it inside the Azara, because every bit of it has to go onto the Mizbeach, so therefore if I take those bits, even though they're chaser and even though they're not shalom, and I bring them outside of the Azara and I offer them on the Mizbeach outside of the Azara, one is going to be in violation of Hela B'chutz. And again, we're just simply now going back. We learned earlier in the beginning of this entire sugya that if you sprinkle blood outside of the azara, so one is going to be liable. How do we know that? Meaning, where's zrika in the Torah? The Torah gives us shchut echutz, the Torah gives us hela b'chutz, where's zrika? So we saw machlokis in the braisa between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Shmuel learns it from the pasuk dam yechashiv, Rabbi Kiva learns it from the words ozevach. So we already covered now how Rabbi Shmuel is dealing with the words ozevach, and then that volley back and forth between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Now we're going to go, what is Rabbi Kiva going to be doing with the words dam yechashiv? So l'rabba shchitas hof. So Rabbi Akiva says that the words dam yechashiv tells me that anytime I'm shechting anything that has blood outside of the Beis HaMikdash, one is going to be liable for shchut echutz, meaning not only animals, birds as well. Rabbi Yishmael nafkele me'o asher yishchat. Now Rabbi Yishmael also arrives at the conclusion, but he learns it from the words o asher yishchat. Rabbi Akiva, and here we go, just volleying back and forth. Rabbi Akiva amalecha humi ba'ile al shochit hu chayv lo al hamolek. Rabbi Akiva learns out from the words o asher yishchat that one is only violating shchut echutz when he shechs a bird outside of the azara. Even though we keep making this point, but it's, you know, you can't understated. Even though in the Azara with a bird, the proper way to do it is Malika. But nevertheless, though, when he does it outside of the Azara, so in order to violate Shchutei Chut, you have to shech the bird outside in order to violate Shchutei Chut. And on top of that, Rabbi Kiva says, I'll go even one step further. If, let's say, the bird outside of the Azara, instead of doing Shchita, I do Malika, with a bird outside the Azara, you didn't violate Shchutei Chut. It's really an oddity. Meaning, because if in the Azara, the only way to properly, quote-unquote, shecht it is to do Malika. But if I do that act of Malika outside of the Azara, you didn't violate Shchut Echutz.
There's a Malika, but there's no prohibition against doing Malika anywhere.
All right. In other words, right. The only location, geographic location where Malika is recognized is only in the Azara.
But there's no prohibition against doing it outside.
I mean, we could say that we could say it's wrong, but in other words, it's not a prohibition. Right. Rabbi Yishmael, Nafkalei Mizeh Davar. Now, Rabbi Yishmael also arrives at this conclusion, but Rabbi Yishmael learns that from the word Zeh Davar. Zeh Davar, by the way, I mentioned yesterday as I was reading through the Psukim. Zeh Davar appears early in the Psukim. Right. Pasuk Alevei Davar Hashem Moshele Mor. So that Pasuk is not going to get darshened. But then the next Pasuk, Daber Aaron Ve'el Banav Ve'el Kol Bnei Yisrael Ve'amart Alem Zeh Davar Asher Tziva Hashem Lemor. So I highlighted yesterday the word Zeh Davar. What's that? Sure. So now Zeh Davar, we're learning, is a limitation. Meaning Zeh Davar comes to tell me that when it comes to birds, so the only way to violate Shchut Echutz when it comes to bird is by shechting it outside. D'tanya, Asher Yishchad Ein Li'ela Shochet Behema Shachet Of Minalan Tamalomer Ar Asher Yishchad. So the pasuk says, "Oh Asher Yishchad Yachol Afa Molek." I might have thought that one, if one did Malika to the bird outside of the Beis Hamikdash, he violated Shchut Echutz. And again, it's really reasonable to think that way. The Gemara over here spells it out. Vidinu. If we had logic would have brought us to that conclusion. Mashchita dein derech hechsher bifnim chayev. Malika shederech hechsher bifnim eno din shu chayev. It really is a logical point that if Shchita, which is the non-recognized way to shecht a bird in the Azara, and you shecht a bird outside of the Azara, shechting, meaning the classic Shchita, you shecht it outside, you violate Shchut Echutz, Malika, which is the recognized way to, quote-unquote, shecht a bird in the Azara, so if you do Malika to the bird outside the Azara, for sure you should be Chayev. So if I had logic would have brought me to that conclusion. But there's logic, and then there's also the Torah. Meaning sometimes, in other words, there is a logical flow, but sometimes the Torah says, in this particular case, you abandon logic. Tam Lomer, Zeh Davar. So the Zeh Davar is coming to tell me that, no, that if one does Malika for a bird outside of the Azara, one does not violate Shchut Echutz. Rabbi Akiva, Amalacha, Umi Baile, L'Gzer Shava. Now, as far as Rabbi Akiva is concerned, the Zeh Davar is necessary. Now, again, Rabbi Akiva already learned this point from another drasha. He doesn't disagree with the drasha, he just simply says it comes from another source. So according to Rabbi Kiva, what do we do with the word Zeh Davar? He says, I need it for Gzereshava that links this parsha to the parsha of Nedarim. See the Gemara in Nedarim. Rashi over here cites the source. See the Gemara in Nedarim for a discussion of what we're learning and connecting Shchut Echutz to the Isser of Nedarim. How did now we learned in the Mishnah? How comes Vam Makabel Damim Bechutz Pater? If, let's say, you would do Kamitza, or let's say you do the act of Kabbalah Saddam, receiving the blood in a bowl, outside of the Beis HaMikdash, one is going to be Pater, Minalan. How do I know that one's going to be Pater? Meaning, what the Gemara is asking is as follows. Here's now what we learned together since the beginning of the Perek. You shech the carbon outside the Beis HaMikdash, or a bird, so you violated Shchut Echutz, and that's an Isser Karis. You offer part of the carbon on the Mizbech outside of the Azara, so you also violated the Isser in the Torah of Hela Bechutz, and you're going to be subject to kares. We also learned from since the beginning of this morning that if you sprinkle blood on the mizbeach outside, that too is included in the isser as well, and presumably you're going to get kares for that as well. Okay, so now we have shchita, we have zrikas adam, we have halah. So we have three avoda actions where you've done outside the isser. One's going to be chai. And now the Gemara says, okay, let's pile on. Let's also add Kabbalah Saddam. Let's also add Kemitza. Meaning, let's add other types of avodas that are normally done in the Azara, where if I do them outside, I'm going to be subject. To which the Gemara asks a really fundamental question, which is, so the Gemara says, okay, but you have to slow down. Meaning, the only way that an Isser is generated is based on the fact that there's a pasuk in the Torah that speaks to the Isser. Meaning, I understand that there's an idea over here. The idea is I can't offer something in the Beis HaMikdash and do it outside the Beis HaMikdash. That's true, but in other words, in order to get to a lav and an onesh, the Torah has to spell it out. The Torah spells out shechita, the Torah spells out halal b'chutz. Okay, Zrikas Adam wasn't super clear, but we had psukim at least that we darshened it out from. Machlok between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva, where the psukim are, but at least they're psukim. But the Gemara says, okay, but you can't just simply let's also tack on Kabbalah Sadam. Let's also tack on Kemitza. Meaning, there has to be a starting point just to even entertain the idea that they're going to be usher as well. So the Gemara says, well, Tasi Mishchita. So the Gemara says, well, maybe we'll learn it out through a Binyanav. Okay, so now we're going to go to our classic methodologies of Yigum Amidah Shator Nejeshes Bahem. And so what the Gemara now is going to attempt to do is create a precedent. And Shechita, look, you shecht outside, you're going to be chayev. So you do Kabbalah Sadam, you're also going to be chayev as well. So, and these arguments, if you remember, we already made these kinds of arguments all the way in the beginning of the Masechta. This takes us back some time, over 3 months ago. So the Gemara says, Mal Shechita Shechein Nefsel Shalol Ochlim BePesach. So the Gemara says, you can't learn out from Shechita. Because by Shechita, there is a Chumra by Shechita. If I shech Karban Pesach over somebody who cannot physically consume Karban Pesach, the Shechita for this Karban Pesach is not going to be good. A unique halacha specific to Shechita. So Tasi Mizrika, so the Gemara says, okay, let's create a binyanav from Zrika. Yeah, but in other words, you don't have this halacha. This particular halacha that the Gemara just highlighted, you don't have that by Kemitza. So the Gemara says, Mal Zrika, Shekein Zar Chayva La'amisa. So the Gemara says, okay, but by Kemitza, sorry, by Zrika, a zar is to do the zrika is not going to be kosher. So the Gemara says, okay, tase mi beinaya. So the Gemara says, okay, so if I can create a binyanah from one source, wonderful. If I can create a binyanah from two sources, that's binyanah mishnei ksuvim. So why don't I take now the common denominator between the two? Meaning zrika can only be done by a kohen, can't be done by a non-kohen. Okay, you got shechita. Oh yeah, but you have the special chumra by shechita that if I shech the Karban Pesach over those who can't consume it, it doesn't work out. Okay, you have you have zrika, and we could just keep ping ponging back and forth between the two. Look at the common denominator between the two, and then arrive at all the other avodas as well. So imkein lo yomar bezrika v'tesi mi beineya. So the Gemara over here makes a really interesting argument, and the Gemara says, okay, so binyanav mishnei ksuvim. I guess it works, is what basically the Gemara now is saying. In theory, it should work, but I'll tell you why it's not going to work. I know it's not going to work because, you know what also we could have learned out from Abinyanav Mishnei Ksuvim? We could have learned out Zrika. Now, just earlier this morning, we did learn out Zrika, but we learned it out not through Abinyanav, we learned it out based on Drushas. What the Gemara now is arguing is, hey, why didn't we learn out from Abinyanav? Oh, I wonder. The Gemara says, I don't wonder. I know. I'm sorry. So, lo yomar bezrika. The Torah didn't have to teach us zrika. And we could have made the following argument. V'tesim mi binaya. In other words, learning out from between the two. V'tesim mishchita mal shchita shkein nefzal shalol shem ochlem bepesach. Again, you have that special chumra of shchita that if I shech to karm pesach for people who can't eat it, the shchita is no good. Tasi mi halaa. Why don't we learn out from the isra of halaa? Or I should say better, from the avoda of halaa. What do you mean? Halal you have by a mincha. And by a mincha, you don't have zrika. So the Gemara says, okay, but in other words, let's use a common denominator between the two. And do you know why the Torah gives us a drasha of zrika, even though I could have learned out from the binyan av of shnei ksuvim? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Because over here, I don't learn it out from the binyanav of Shnei Ksuvim. Now, at this juncture of the Gemara now has concluded its discussion, meaning here we don't learn out binyanav from Shnei Ksuvim, and we didn't learn out from Zrika. How do I know that? Because the Torah had to go out of its way to spell out Zrika, and therefore I'm not going to be able to learn out Kabbalah Sadam and Kemitza and any of the other avodas. Now, I'll ask you, I don't have the answer, why over here do we not learn it out from Binyanav? Meaning Binyanav is a legitimate methodology. And in fact, the Gemara over here says, the Torah in here has to go out of its way to tell me that we don't learn it out through a Binyanav. Why now has this become the exception, the exclusion, where I don't learn out from Binyanov over here? I don't know.
Isn't one of the weaker?
Compared to other
methods.
It's still a method, meaning we could grade it, but it's still a method. I agree with you. The Gemara just went through it.
The same thing.
The common denominator. You take the common denominator between various avodas. So each one of them has a unique aspect. So good. Each one of them has a unique aspect. But there's a common denominator in which they are an avoda, and therefore one is going to be subject to a liability. So over here also. So the other avodas also, they'll be subject to a liability.
Do they have common denominator?
Yes, the Gemara just said they do.
No, for Zirika, for Kabbalah Adam.
Also, same thing, it's an Avoda. It's one of the Dalai Avodas. Okay, Amar Rabbi Abau. Shach Vizarak. So here's what we know. In the Torah, what Isurim are explicitly mentioned? Shchut Echut HaLavachot. What other Avoda did we also include? Zrika Sadam. Where does it come from? Machlok between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Shmuel learns it out from the words Dam Yechashev. Rabbi Kiva learns it out from O Zevach. Now, according to... So we have really now three avodos that one is going to be liable for if done outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Shchita, Zrika, which is learned via Drasha. Machlok is how the Drasha works. And Hela B'chutz. The Gemara now does just like... It's like a classic shiur. Where now, depending on where you learn Zrika from, so that's gonna describe categorically what it fits under. Meaning, is Zrika vis-a-vis this Isser of Zrika B'chutz, is it categorically more like Shchita, or is it categorically more like Hela B'chutz? That's wonderful. It's a wonderful question. And the Gemara says it really depends on how you learn the Drasha. Do you learn it like Rabbi Kiva? Do you learn it like Rabbi Shmuel? The Gemara spells it out. Amar Rabbi Abahu Shach V'Zarak. So let's say you do, outside of the Beis HaMikdash, you do Shchita V'Zrika. And let's describe a person doing it Behelam Echad. In other words, in a state of unawareness. He forgot. A lot of things he could have forgotten over there, but it doesn't matter. In other words, so Behelam Echad, he forgot and he did both of these activities. How many Karban Chattas does one need to bring? So if it's categorically the same, one Karban Chattas. Categorically two different categories, two Karban Chattas. And the Gemara now just simply spells it out. So Ladiv Rabbi Shmuel Chayv Achas. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, one's going to be Chayv one. Because again, where did Rabbi Shmuel get this halacha of Zrika? He got it from the pasuk of Dam Yechashev. So Dam Yechashev sounds like this operates under the category of Shchita. And so therefore you're going to be Chayv one. And Ladiv Rabbi Kiva Chayv Shtayim. And according to Rabbi Kiva, you're going to be Chayv two. According to Rabbi Akiva, it's going to be two. One is an Isser Kares, where one is only a love. I'm sorry. According to Rabbi Akiva, you're only going to be Chayiv one because he learns that from the words Ozavach. Ozavach sounds like it's more a function of halah, meaning categorically should go under halah. Let's do it the other way. So the Lediv Rabbi Shmuel Chayiv Achas, Lediv Rabbi Akiva Chayiv Shtayim. Abaye Amar Afilu Div Rabbi Kiva no Chayv al Achas. Rabbi disagrees. He says, no, even according to Rabbi Kiva, if you do Shchita and Zrika outside the base of Mikdash and Halam Echad, so you're only going to be Chayv one. Da Amar Kra Shamtase. Because even though, yes, it's Darshan from two different psukim, but the Torah then groups them together with the word Shamtase. Asan Lakulan Avoda Achas. It's treated like one unit of Avoda. Okay, let's do it another way. We're basically doing the same exercise, but now we're doing it in the other direction. Zarek v'hala. Let's say you do Zrika and Hala b'chutz. And again, let's assume that the person did it b'hala mechad. Now, is Zrika under the category of Shchita, or is Zrika under the category of Hala b'chutz? And again, it's just simply going to be a question of how you darshan. Do you darshan like Rabbi Kiva? Do you darshan like Rabbi Shmuel? Ladiv Rabbi Shmuel, Chayiv Shtayim. According to Rabbi Shmuel, you're going to be Chayiv too. Because Zrika, according to Rabbi Shmuel, is more of a Shchita categorically. So therefore, Zarak is really Shchita. And Hela, of course, is Hela. So, in other words, those are two different Isurim. And Ladiv Rabbi Kiva, Einu Chayv al Achas. And according to Rabbi Kiva, you're going to be Chayv one, because according to Rabbi Kiva, the Zrikas Adam categorically fits under the category of Hela B'chutz. And so therefore, it's really one Isur just simply being done twice, and therefore you're only going to be Chayv one carbon. Abaye Amar Filadiv Rabbi Kiva, Chayv Shtayim. Now, Abaye over here argues in the other direction. No. Here you'd be chayv too. Why? Lahachia bagina krash. Shamtale v'shamtase. No, because over here, shamtale v'shamtase. The aliyah, offering it on the top of the mizbech, that's one iser. And asiya, meaning the sprinkling of the blood, that's a separate iser. And finally, shachat v'zarak v'hela. Let's say you do all three activities outside the base of Mikdash, behelam echad. So you shecht a carbon, and you sprinkle the blood, and you offer it on the mizbech outside of the azara, and you do all that behelam echad. L'divrei hakol chayv shtayim. Here you're going to be chayv two, because you for sure did two isurim in the Torah. What about zrika? Okay, so zrika can either categorically fit under shechita, or categorically it's going to fit under halah. Either way, you'll be chayv two. Tanu Rabbanan. The Gemara quotes the following braisa. Okay, a little bit of girsa maneuvering over here. Oh, I'm reading on the side. Oh, asher yishchat michutz amachaneh yachol chutz. Yachol chutz amachaneh. I'm sorry. The girsa over here is a little choppy. Mm-hmm. So yachol michutz amachaneh yachol chutz legimel machanos tamalamar o eiz bamachaneh. So, basically, here's the Havamina. The Gemara thinks now for a moment that in order to violate Shchut Chutz, where do I have to be? I have to be outside. But outside means outside what? So, as we have already established and talked about numerous times, there are three levels. In other words, there's Machane Shechina the Azara. There is Har Abayis, which is Machane Leviya. There's Yerushalayim, which is Machane Yisrael. When you violate the Sisra Shchut Chutz, you have to be outside of what? The Havamina would have been that you have to be outside all three. And look, Parmenas Rafim, we just discussed this a couple of days ago. Where do they have to be taken out? They have to be taken out of all three. In other words, you have to be outside of the entire Kedusha area. So I might have thought that you have to be outside of all three.
So the Kedusha doesn't become Pusul just when you come out?
The Pusul Karban would occur
right away.
But in other words, the Isser in the Havamina. The Isser would not occur until you're a Gimel Machanos outside. So the Gemara says, Tamalamar O Eiz B'machanah. No. In other words, when by the Torah giving us extra words, the Torah is telling us that one is in violation of Shchut Echutz, even just being outside of the Azara. So, and by the way, I don't know if you've been listening carefully. I've been saying that the whole morning. Meaning, every time I talk about the Isser of Shchut Echutz, I'm saying being outside the Azara. Meaning, I knew the Gemara here, so I just put it into the... into the senses. The Gemara here has a wonderful Havamina. Let's say I take a carbon ola, I'm in the Azara, but I shecht on the south side. Isn't that Shchut Echutz? Now you're not outside the Azara, but you're outside of the perimeter in which you're allowed to shecht the carbon ola. Carbon ola can only be shecht in the north. And so what the Gemara is entertaining as a Havamina, I really get it, as a Havamina, is that you're not in the right location. If you're not in the right location, shchut echutz. So the Gemara says, Tamalamar, el michutz l'machaneh, machutz l'machaneh miyuchad, shein ra l'shchita kachim, u l'shchita kol zevach yatsa darm, shafapi, shein ra l'shchita kachim kadashim, ra l'shchita kachim kalam. Being in the south is not chutz l'machaneh. In other words, you could shecht all your kachim kalam in the south. It's an area that is not excluded from shchita. Yes, it's excluded from shechita from some karbanos, but it's not an area excluded from shechita. You can't call that chutz. Amar Ula. Hashochet agago shel heichal chayef. Okay, you go on the rooftop, you shecht on the rooftop of the Beis HaMikdash. Is that shechute chutz? So Abaye is going to argue, yeah, that's shechute chutz. Now, as a preposition goes, being outside, what does outside mean? So you would have thought, I would have thought, being outside meaning outside of the wall, meaning going in a horizontal direction. What the Gemara now is entertaining is that outside also means being above. Meaning if you're not actually on the floor plan of the Azara, but you're above it, the Gemara over here describes being on the roof of the Heichal, so that is also considered chutz. According to Ula, you can't shecht over there. Meaning, we already discussed this point earlier in the Masechta. A proper shechita is that you have to be on the floor of the Azara. In fact, your feet have to actually be on the floor of the Azara. The animal has to be on the Azara. So Rava disagrees. And Rava says, look, the Torah says, El Pesach Moed. Meaning, if you're on the rooftop, Did you enter into the Azara? Yeah, you did. Meaning, I understand vertically now, you're above ground. You're higher than where you need to be. But you didn't violate the Isra of El Pesach Moed Lo Hiviu, meaning you did go into Pesach El Moed. So Rava says that, look, it's not the right place to shecht, but you didn't violate Shchut Echutz. So Ula Rav Imkei Nechtov El Pesach El Moed Bamachane Michutz Amachane Lamali. So according to Rava, so the Torah just needed to say El Pesach El Moed and we would have gotten everything. What do we learn now from the words Michutz Amachane? What do we gain from that? So Lavla Suhi Gago. So presumably isn't it coming to exclude being on the roof? Amarav Mari Lesuhi Ekula Bifnim V'Tzavar B'chutz. So the Gemara says no. There, what the Torah is coming to introduce to us is the following Chiddush. Let's say the majority of the animals inside the Azara. The neck of the animal is outside the Azara. You shech the animal while the neck is outside the Azara. So the Gemara says, I need a pasuk for that? That's obvious. Tzavar b'chutz pshita. Amai kapit rachmana shchita v'shchita b'chutzi. In other words, shchita. The actual act of shchita is on the neck of the animal. The neck of the animal is outside the Azara. It's nice that the rest of the body of the animal is in the Azara. Shchita is going on the neck. The neck has to be inside. So the Gemara says, okay, we're going to go in the other direction. Let's say that the animal's outside, but the neck is inside. So is that shchut echutz? So the Gemara says, now we have a chiddush, now in our hands. That's a chiddush. Where if the animal is primarily outside, even though the neck's inside the azara, and even though you're shechting on the neck, but no, in other words, that's not good enough. In other words, that is, the animal has to be, I'll say the majority, because, you know, I think halachically this way, but I say the majority of the animal has to be in the Azara in order for the Shechita to be a valid Shechita.
Didn't we learn earlier by human, the head is considered most of the body?
In terms of the definition of birth, that's correct. Right? The Gemara Nida tells us that for the definition of birth, all you need is the head, and we're going to learn together in the Gemara Nida, you don't even need the head to come out, just simply the front of the head to come out, just the forehead to come out. That's considered definition of birth. But over here, we're talking about the definitions of being interior versus exterior. And even though the head's inside, but that's just the animal's not inside.
That's on the outside of the animal; it's going inside.
Right. Okay. Let's continue. Itmar hamalab is manazeh. Okay, what if you shecht the carbon outside the Beis HaMikdash nowadays? Nowadays, unfortunately, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. We've been out without a Beis HaMikdash now for 2,000 years. Right? We're getting closer and closer to that 2,000 mark. It's enough already. But, okay, my moment of wanting Mashiach. Okay, it should be more than a moment. But anyway, so Hamalab is manazeh. So if you offer a carbon outside the Beis HaMikdash nowadays, so did you violate Shchut Echutz, yes or no? So here we get to a classic discussion in the Gemara. So everybody here probably knows this Gemara backwards, forwards. So Hamalab is manazeh, Rav Yochanan amar chayev, Reish Lakish amar patur. Rav Yochanan says that one would be chayev, even though we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. If one were to offer a carbon outside the area of the Beis HaMikdash, one violated Shchut Echutz. And Reish Lakish says, you're patur. And what's this machlok is predicated on? So we all know. So Rav Yochanan amar chayev, Reish Lakish amar patur. Rav Yochanan amar chayev, kedusha v'shon kish l'shaita v'kish l'asid lavo. Rav Yochanan takes the position that the kedusha of Yerushalayim, once invested with that kedusha remains, and therefore, even though we are sans Beis HaMikdash, but we still have the kedushas makom of the Beis HaMikdash, and so therefore, to this very day, the area is a consecrated, sanctified area, and so that means that if I shech the carbon outside that area, I violate Shchut Echutz. Reish Lakish amar patur kedusha v'shon kish l'shaita v'lo kish l'asid lavo. And Reish Lakish says no, that once the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, the kedusha is gone. Paka kedusha asa. Name of the bepukta the rebbe lazer rebbe Yeshua kamiflagi. And every time the Gemara brings up this topic of kish l'shaita kish l'asid lavo, the Gemara tries to relate it to the machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. So we've seen this already numerous times. Let's see it again. Did not Amar Rabbi Eliezer kishayu bonim be'echal. When Ezra came back into Eretz Yisrael to build the second temple, so he was building be'echal. And how you osim klein be'echal, klein ba'azaros, ela she'be'echal bonim mi'bechutz, va'azar bonim mi'bifnim. So, and there would be klein, there would be currents that would be put up. Why were those currents put up? So stay tuned. Either you can guess or you know the answer. But the currents were put up. And the hechal, and the only difference between the Hechal and the Azar is that El Shebehechal Bonim Mebechutz, as far as the Hechal is concerned, not appropriate for non-Kohanim to be in the Heichel, so they would be building from the outside. But in the Azara, however, where it's not totally inappropriate, I mean, it should be avoided, but not totally inappropriate for non-Kohanim to be in the Azara, so therefore they could build it from the inside. Amar Rav Yeshua Shemati Shayu Makriv Ma'afa Pishayin Bayis Va'ochlim Kachay Kadash Ma'afa Pishayin Kalayim Kachim Kalim Ma'aser Sheni Afa Pishayin Chomet Mimnei Shekidusha Rishon Kishla Shaita V'Kishla Asilava. Rav Yeshua says that I heard that they were still offering karbanos even though there was no house, meaning there was no Beis HaMikdash. And they would be eating Kachim Kadashim even though there were no curtains. And they would be eating Kachim Kalim and Maaser Sheni even though there was no wall to Yerushalayim. Why? Because according to Rabbi Yeshua, the area is sanctified. And that sanctity continues. And even though there are no walls and partitions, it doesn't matter. And now, once we see this machlokes in Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua, what is at odds between the two positions? Presumably, Lav Mechlal, the Rabbi Elazar of Elokitcha, that Rabbi Elazar is of the opinion that no, that investiture of Kedusha only comes when you set up the walls. Prior to that point in time, there was no Kedusha. Because the Kedusha is just not simply on autopilot, where the Kedusha just continues and perpetuates, even though there's no structure and there's no edifice. And according to Rabbi Yeshua, no, the Kedusha continues, and it doesn't matter whether there is or there isn't any kind of partitions or walls. That Lechora is a machlokas, and so what the Gemara now is projecting, that the machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish is the same machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua. I'm Le Ravina Le Rav Ashi Mimai. And the Gemara says, I don't necessarily think so. Perhaps that both of these opinions, both Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua of the Mishnah that we just learned together, by the way, it's a Mishnah Nedios. The machlokes between the two has nothing to do with whether or not Kedusha is Kishla Shaita V'Kishla Asilava or not. They can both agree that the Kedusha of Yerushalayim is in existence in perpetuity. Umari, my Deshmi Aleikamar, my Deshmi Aleikamar. And what are they doing? They're just giving various reports. Remember, this is a Mishnah Adios. What's the idea behind the Mishnah Adios? Each one of the Tanayim is giving a report of something he either saw or he heard. So over here, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua are just reporting what they saw and what they heard. But it could very well be that they're in perfect agreement with one another. And then you'll ask the question, V'chitema kalayim l'Rabbi Eliezer l'amali. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, if in principle he agrees to Rabbi Yeshua, that Kedusha Rishon, the Kishla Shaisa, the Kishla Asilavo, the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash and Yerushalayim exist in perpetuity, and once invested with the Kedusha, that Kedusha continues, with or without walls, why did they first have to set up partitions before building? And the answer is a very simple answer. Litzniyusa be'alma. It's the Beis HaMikdash. It's a holy area. Holiness, by definition, needs tznius. It needs modesty. It needs privacy. And so, therefore, it could just simply be that tznius. That's all. And it has nothing to do with the fundamental question of Kedusha Rishon is Kishla Shaisa, Kishla Asilava. Yes. Yes.
By definition, there should be structure.
That would speak to the yes. I agree. I absolutely agree.
So that, what's the
Habamina
here that there should be no
condition? The Gemara, you know what's interesting is that the Amorayim are very clear that they're debating this issue, which you're right. Meaning what the Gemara now is suggesting is that Tanaim are not debating this issue. All right, and the Gemara regarding David HaMelech also seems to be a strong indicator that the Kedusha continues and perpetuates.
So theoretically you could have
yeah. Shamati, Rabbi Elazar. I'm sorry, not Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Yeshua says, Shamati, I heard. Shahayu makriv ma'afa pishayin bayis. He says it. We don't have to speculate. It's a lengthier discussion. I actually know the answer. I can't say it in one sentence. it's a little complicated. Okay. I'm sorry. The question was, what is the Rambam's position regarding Kedusha Rishon and Kishla Shaisa? And the answer is, it's like a shear. It takes a while to articulate the Rambam's position. Okay. Itmar. Hamala Vimbo Kazayas, Vetsam Ashlima Lakazayas. Okay. So now Gemara goes into a lot of its classic talk regarding, for shear. In other words, to be chayiv on any yisur in the Torah, you have to bring a requisite amount. What is a requisite amount? So we'll go with our classic shirim. So for mala b'chutz, offering a carbon outside, you need a kazayis. Okay, that's the starting point of the Gemara. That's the assumption of the Gemara. So you need a kazayis. That's wonderful. So what if, here we go, just classic discussion in the Gemara. Ain bo kazayis for etz mashlim al kazayis. So let's say you don't have a kazayis, but you have almost a kazayis of meat and a little bit of bone of the animal also, which brings us to the volume of the kazayis.
It's chosar, no?
I'll tell you what we haven't done yet. We haven't defined what chosar means. We just threw it out there as a term. Later, the Gemara is going to define what it means. Okay, Rav Yochanan Amar Chayev Reish Lakish Amar Pater. So here, Machlokes between Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish, Rav Yochanan Amar Chayev Chibure Olin Ka Olin Dami. So Rav Yochanan says that anything connected to a Ola has Ola status. So even though the bone, what did we learn regarding the bone? The bone flies off the Mizbeach by itself. You don't have to put it back on. It's a bone. It's attached to the carbon, but it's not carbon per se. But the point is, this is the Gemara's argument for Rav Yochanan, but while attached to the carbon, it takes on carbon quality. And so therefore, it's mashlim for a kazayas.
Here's your question. You had this humongous animal you just lost. What happened to it that you're like arguing about the kazayas? Where's the rest of the animal?
I don't know. Maybe it was off. The Gemara over here is just dealing.
But it's like
a, yeah, you're right. But you're right. You've been here long enough. You know the Gemara likes dealing with these conceptual questions of how to look at something attached. Is something attached take on the full status? Rav Yochanan's arguing yes. Reish Lakish Amar Pater Chiburim Lav Kolam Dami. So the and Reish Lakish is of the opinion that you're going to be exempt. Why? Because that which is attached to the carbon. Okay, it's attached to the carbon, but it doesn't have carbon status. By Rava, the Gemara continues, Hamala, Rosh Ben Yonah, Shein Bo Kazayis. Let's say you take the head of a bird and you offer it up onto the Mizbech outside of the Azara. Okay, you're trying to do Shchut Echutz, but you don't have the requisite shear. But we also know, every carbon that goes up onto the Mizbech needs salt. So I put on a healthy amount of salt on the head of the bird. And so now bird plus salt gets me to the volume of Kazayis. So it's a really similar question. In other words, so now does the salt take on the status of carbon, where it can get me to the shear of kezias? So umalch mashlim le kezias ma'u amalei rabba miparzikal ravash alav haina plutai de Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish. So the Gemara says, okay, so just take the bone discussion that we had 1 minute ago and just plug it in over here. It's the same discussion, right? And the Gemara says, I'm not sure if it's the same. Le Rav Yochanan, tibai le Rav Yochanan, tibai le Reish Lakish. The Gemara says, it doesn't have to be the same. Because Tibala Rav Yochanan, I can't look at Rav Yochanan Hashem Allah Hashem the Minad Basahu Ava Melach the Lav Minad Bar Yonah Hula. Here, look, Rav Yochanan says that bone has the Ola status. Yeah, you know why? Because bone's part of the same animal. So when the bone's part of the same animal, so therefore the bone and the meat are min echad. They're all coming from the same organism, and therefore the bone has carbon status. Here we're talking about salt. Okay, it adds flavor. It's wonderful. Well, I love it.
Right,
but it's in other words, it's not mina de baser. It's not of the organism of the meat. And tibar le Reish Lakish, we can ask the other question. We can go the other way as far as this argument is concerned, because ad kan lo kamar Reish Lakish hasam ala di parish mina lav mitzvah lasuke avahach di parish mitzvah lasuke lo odilma loshna. And for and look, here's how we can go regarding in the other direction. Let's say we're in the Beis Hamikdash and we're on the Mizbech and the bone flies off the Mizbech. Do I got to bring it back up onto the Mizbech? The answer is no. If it's just bone, okay, it doesn't have to go back up. Now, let's say a piece of any carbon flies off the Mizbech and I'm bringing it back up again. You know what I got to do? I got to resalt it. Every single time you bring a carbon on the Mizbech, it needs salt. Rashi over here writes, Melach Iparish Mitzvah lachzor ula molcho, kidichsiv, velo tashbis melach bris. So when it comes to salt has to go on every single time. So even though the salt, obviously it's not part and parcel of the animal itself, but because of the requirement of salting and resalting, so actually salt may be more intrinsic to the carbon than the actual bone is. Teku, the Gemara says, good. One wonderful argument. The Gemara leaves this question unresolved. And finally, we are going to conclude with our discussion. Well, two more points to discuss. Rav Yosef Galila Omer. Okay, now, remember the Mishnah? If I shecht a carbon inside the Azara and offer it outside, you violate Shchut Echutz. What if I shecht it outside? So for sure, for shechting it outside, you violate shechut echutz. Given. If I shecht it outside and then offer it outside, Tanakhama says you violated both. Shechut echutz and hela b'chutz. And Rav Yosef Aglili in the Mishnah said, no, you're not going to violate hela b'chutz. Because once you shecht it outside, you disqualified it. So you're not going to be in violation of hela b'chutz. That was Rav Yosef Aglili. And the Chachamim said back to Rav Yosef Aglili, you have to be kidding. What you're saying does not make any sense. You shecht it inside and you take it out, so that too is going to be disqualified. What difference does it make whether you shecht it inside and bring it out versus you shecht it outside and you offer it outside? It doesn't make any difference. To that, the Gemara now says, we are going to defend Rav Yosef Aglili, even though the halacha follows like the Chachamim. But still, just in terms of Rav Yosef Aglili is a Tana, it's a tenable position. It's Torah. It's a chelik of Torah. So what the Tanaim are going to do is the Tanaim are going to defend Rav Yosef Aglili. Hey, Shiv Rebbe Tachas Rav Yosef Aglili. Ma l'shoche b'fnim, ma l'bechusha ha'isal o'shasa kosher. Tomer b'shoche chutz, ma l'bechusha lo'isal o'shasa kosher. Defense number one. You know, it is different. When you shech something inside, that means that there was a time of eligibility. And even though you bring it outside, even though it becomes disqualified, but at least it had a moment of shasa kosher. How many times in this masechta, I did not keep score, how many times in this masechta do we lend the significance and credence to something having a shasa kosher? So it's different. It's not the same. A second defense of Rav Yosef Aglili. Hey, Shiv Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon Tachas, Rav Yosef Aglili. Mala shochi b'fnim, mala b'chutz, ken kodesh mikablo. Tom Rebbe shochi b'chutz, ken kodesh mikablo. It's a similar idea, but again, speaks to the idea of it's different. When I shech something in the Azara, even if I take it outside, it becomes disqualified. We all know that. But you know what? If brought back inside and put on the Mizbeach is Mekadesh. It stays on the Mizbeach. We're not going to say the same thing about something that shechted outside to begin with. Something shechted outside to begin with is so disqualified, the Mizbeach can't even tolerate it. It won't go, even if it were to go on the Mizbech, you take it down. So again, is there a difference between something shechted inside versus outside? Sure there is. So the Gemara gives defenses of Rav Yosef Aglili. And then the Gemara really fine-tunes. You know, we basically made the point, same point twice over in defending Rav Yosef Aglili. My Beinayu Amaziri Shechitas Laileike Beinayu. You know, there's going to be a subtle difference between these two positions. What if, let's say, I shechted a carbon at night? Did it have a shasa kosher? No, it didn't. I shecht it at night. Can it go onto the Mizbeach? Meaning, it shouldn't. But if it goes on the Mizbeach, can it stay on the Mizbeach? Sure, because the disqualification occurred in the Azara. Let's do it another way. Rabba Amar Kabla B'Kli Chol Ika Benayu. Let's say when you receive the blood of this carbon, you received it not in a Kli Sharis, but in a Kli Chol, in a non-consecrated vessel. So under those circumstances, did it have a Shasa Kosher? No. If it goes onto the Mizbeach, does it stay on the Mizbeach? Yeah, because the psul occurred in the Azara. Okay, and let's finish up now with the following discussion. Although, admittedly, by the way, this next discussion is a little bit tricky, but let's get to the Mishnah. Tamisha Achal Ben Kodesh. Sha'apir Kamalei Rabbanu LeRabbi Yosef Aglili. Look, the Mishnah then brought us to another discussion, very similar in construct between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yosef Aglili. And that is over the following. We know that someone who is in the state of Tumas HaGuf and eats carbon is subject to kares. What about the opposite? The person himself is Tahor and eating carbon, which is Tameh, it's a lav in the Torah. Now, the Chachamim are of the opinion that if you are Tumas HaGuf and you eat carbon, regardless of whether the carbon you're eating is Tahor or Tameh, you are subject to the kares penalty. And Rav Yosef Aglili says, no. If you are Tumas HaGuf and you eat a carbon that's Tahor, you're going to get the kares penalty. But if you eat a carbon that's tamei, because you ate carbon which was disqualified, so therefore you're not going to be receiving the kares penalty. And here, once again, the Chachamim turn to Rav Yosef Aglili, and they say to him, you have to be joking. Like, I don't understand your position. If the carbon was tahor, and the tamei person picked it up, it's going to become tamei. So what difference does it make whether it started off as being tahor and you made it tameh, or when you picked it up, it was already tameh. It arrives at the same point of before it enters your mouth, it's tameh. So how could it possibly be different whether it was tahor or it was tummy before you picked it up. And again, it's the same idea. And so now what the Gemara is going to do is the Gemara is going to give a little bit more structure, texture, understanding to this machlokas between the Chachamim and Rav Yosi Galili. The Gemara starts off with the saying, Shapir Kamer Le Rabban Le Rav Yosi Galili. If you think about it, the Chachamim really make perfect sense. Meaning, it really, what difference does it make whether the carbon itself was tummy before I picked it up or it becomes tummy when I pick it up? In other words, the result is that I'm going to be putting tummy carbon into my mouth and eating tummy carbon. You're right. And I'll still ask the same question. And so what? When it goes into your mouth, it's tummy. I'm a Rava. Kol hecha denitma tumas aguf v'achar kach nitma basa dekolei amalo pligi dechayiv. Shekein tumas aguf bekaris. So Rava says like this. If let's say your tumas aguf came before the carbon itself becoming tummy, so then everyone's going to be in agreement. Because again, but you being in a state of tumas aguf, it's an iser kares for you to eat carbon. So now, whether or not, when you picked it up, it was tummy, it wasn't tummy. As long as you were tummy before the carbon itself was tummy, we're all in agreement. You're going to be chay of kares. Ki pligi b'shenitma basav achar kach nitma hagof. The debate between the Chacham and Rav Yosi Galili occur under these circumstances. Where? Let's say first, in other words, we're going sequentially now on the timeline. First, the meat of the carbon becomes tummy, then you, the person, become tummy. Now let's think this through. When the meat becomes tummy, now there's a law in the Torah that you can't eat that carbon. When you become tummy, there's now an additional iser, which has with it a more serious penalty of kares. Now, this brings us to a topic that the Gemara discusses time and again, and that is an iser being chal on iser. One iser superimposing on top of another iser. Rabban Tzavri, I mean amigo. Now, according to the Chachamim, now do we say iser chal al iser? So here's what we say. Almost every time. Ain iser chal al iser. One iser cannot impose on top of another iser unless it adds something, either quantitatively or qualitatively. Now, quantitatively means that with the second iser, more things are going to be usher to you. Consider. When the meat is tamei and you're tahor, so the meat is usher to you. When you become tamei, every carbon is going to be usher to you. So now what we have done is that we have increased quantitatively with that second iser, now more items becoming iser to you. So the Chachamim will say, okay, so I know that ain iser chal al iser, but when the second iser is adding more quantitatively, by the way, the terminology is, that's what's called iser kolal. It includes more. So when the second iser includes more things quantitatively, so therefore it does superimpose on the first iser. Rav Yosi Galili sever lo amrin amigo, and Rav Yosi Galili doesn't agree, meaning he simply doesn't subscribe to the principle of iser kolo, which, by the way, Rashi points out is clear in the Gemara in Chulin. You'll forgive me; I'm not going to read the Rashi inside, but that's clear that Rav Yosi Galili doesn't subscribe to this concept of iser kolo. Rav Yosi nehi demigo lo amrin atesi tomas aguf dechamir v'techol al tomas basar. Gemara says, okay, but I'm still going to ask you just such a wonderful question, a strong question. Okay, Rav Yosi Galili doesn't agree to the principle of iser kolo, but I'll tell you what he does agree to. He agrees to the concept of iser chamor. What does that mean? It means that when the second iser is qualitatively stronger than the first iser, everyone's going to agree that the second iser is going to superimpose on the first iser. And over here, there's no dispute. The first iser, when the meat itself becomes tamei, it's a lav. It's a negative prohibition not to eat that meat. When you become tamei, now it's an iser kares. So okay, even if I'm not subscribing to iser kolo, the quantitative nature of the second iser, but I certainly agree to the qualitative nature that if that second iser is qualitatively stronger iser, and by the way, let's give this also a name. This is what's called iser chamor. So when the second iser is qualitatively stronger, so then everyone's going to agree. Even Rav Yosi Galili is going to agree iser chal al iser. And so now Gemara says, I'm going to ask a really good question. So now, according to Rav Yosi Galili, that second iser should be chal, based on the fact that it's an iser chamor. It's a really good question. So Rav Yosi nihi, I'm just repeating the Gemara's question. Sorry, Rav Yosi nihi demigo lo amrin atesi tomas aguf dechamir v'tachol al tomas basar. Am Ravashi, Mimai de Tumas Aguf Chamura. Duma Tumas Basar Chamura. Gemara over here is a really interesting defense of Rav Yosef Galili. I know that Karis is really severe. There's no disputing that. Only 34 Yisurim in the Torah have an Isser Karis. I know that Karis is really severe. But I'm going to make the argument, says Rav Ashi, that Tumas Basar is actually more Chamur than Tumas Aguf. It's really hard to make, but Rav Ashi is going to make it. Shekein Ein Lo Tahara B'Mikvah. Because consider, when the meat of a carbon becomes Tameh, rectifiable, correctable? No. In other words, there's nothing to do. It's food. Once food, it's a carbon that becomes tameh. So once food becomes tameh, so that's it. There's nothing that can correct that situation. When you, a person, becomes tameh, correctable? Sure. In other words, go to the mikvah, and the tumah is going to be gone. So what Rav Ashi now is going to argue is that for Rav Yosef Aglili, the tumah of the meat, even though the punishment is less, but because it is a non-correctable situation, is going to be more severe than the tumah saguf. Mm-hmm. Albeit the punishment is an Isser Kares, but the situation is correctable. You just go to the mikvah and you'll be fine. And so therefore, the Gemara is arguing is that for Rav Yosef Glili, the Isser Basar, the Tumas Basar, is actually more chamor than the Isser, the Isser of Tumas Aguf. I know that's a really hard argument, but Rav Ashi makes it.
Okay. Isn't it correctable by even a tummy in which the Mizbeach accepts it? We said the Mizbeach
we do say the Mizbeach accepts it, but it doesn't correct the situation. It just simply says that the Mizbeach tolerates it.